All right, we're recording now. So, welcome everybody. Happy Friday. Yay, it's been a long and rough week, but here we are, and the weekend's around the corner. So, welcome back to another edition of Express Route Fridays with the Cloud and Enterprise Black Belts. This is a session for customers and partners to learn more about Express Route and how to connect your premises privately to the Microsoft Cloud. I'm your host. I'm Ron Abalera. I'm an Azure architect slash black belt. So I handle a lot of advanced technologies from big data to advanced networking, including ExpressRoute. And joining me today are some of my friends in crime, Kevin Lopez and Jamie Smidke, who are our partner specialists, and Kevin Sullivan, who's our business continuity, disaster recovery, and also an ExpressRoute guru as well. So thanks for joining us. And welcome everybody to customers and partners. A couple of house rules before we begin. I just wanted to remind everybody that since this is a public call, all the content that we have today is going to be public information. So we will not be presenting anything that's NDA specific. Some customers may have NDAs with Microsoft. So if you do have any NDA specific questions, feel free to ping us offline and we'll be happy to address any questions that you have. And for folks who also joined the Skype bridge, notice that there is a IM window on the bottom left. So the call will be muted for the most part for the audience for the first 40 or 50 minutes or so while we get through the content. So if you do have any questions, there are folks monitoring the IM window to answer those in real time, so feel free to post any questions there. We will have a Q&A session at the end, but feel free to use that in the meantime. The sessions are recorded, so that way you can see the content, the presenters, as well as any questions that are answered in the IM window. And those recordings, the deck, and any other materials will be also posted on that link below. So feel free to capture that, save it as a favorite. That way you can always refer back to this in case that there's content that you may have missed. All right. So we got an action-packed agenda today. So typically we go through an ExpressRoute quick start. This essentially helps customers learn it from 0 to 60, essentially. So this is for many folks who may be just new to ExpressRoute and kind of learning it for the first time. And then we quickly dive into some deeper topics. We will present the first ExpressRoute checklist and talk about some of the updated guidance for Office 365 CRM Online. And then we have a guest presenter today, John Orman, who will be talking about one of his specialties, which is building secure Azure virtual networks with network security groups, user-defined routes, network virtual appliances, and more. So that's been a hot topic because it's around security. And we also have a partner spotlight today. Joining us is Tata Communications. So they're one of our global partners. So happy to have them join us today. And we will also have an open Q&A at the very end. We'll unmute the audience and feel free to go off of mute and ask your questions. If you're shy and you just want to type it in the IM window, that's fine too. But this is your opportunity to ask those questions, and don't feel shy about it, because if you have a question or concern, and most likely there are other, you know, customers on the call as well that have similar questions as well. So feel free to help out the community here by, you know, opening any questions that you have. All right, I'm going to do something a little bit different this week. So I'm based in Houston, Texas, and a 500-year flood, as they call it, I decided to roll in this week. So part of the reason why it was kind of a long and rough week, just to give you a couple of sites from around my neighborhood. This is literally just within 10 minutes of my house. We had about 14 inches of rain in the span of about, you know, 10 hours. So this is a brand new highway on the left, and that is not a river. That's actually the highway that's under 12 feet of water. So that literally opened 4 months ago and is now a river. And we also have the HP campus about 10 minutes from my house, and take a look how bad it's gotten. So I've learned a couple lessons during this week, and it's definitely to appreciate being able to not be swimming in those muddy waters. But there's also a couple of things, and why am I talking about this on ExpressRoute Fridays? I learned two valuable lessons. So number one, I wish the internet had an uptime SLA. So I counted at least 9 different instances where my internet went down, and the longest stretch was about 4 hours. So, you know, my sanity's sake, as well as my kid's sanity's sake, we realize how important the internet is in our daily lives, and we wish that it was always up and running, right? I had a MiFi. In fact, I have two, one from Verizon and one from T-Mobile, and they worked for the most part. But unfortunately, when everybody doesn't have a landline access to the internet and everyone starts hopping onto their MiFi, the bandwidth and performance absolutely goes terribly. So even though it worked, there were times that it was absolutely to a crawl and almost to the point of being unusable. So in my mind, I'm just thinking that someone on their MiFi is either watching cat videos on YouTube or streaming Game of Thrones on Netflix and dragging my email bandwidth down. So those are the two lessons that I learned, is that I wish that the internet had an uptime SLA, and I wish that I didn't have to share that bandwidth with everybody else. So how does that relate to ExpressRoute? So my ExpressRoute analogy that I talk about from week to week is that the internet is kind of like that freeway that's on the left. So the internet and ExpressRoute will absolutely get you from point A to B, but, you know, at any given time, you know, the internet is a public highway, so to speak. So it can get congested. You know, your routes may take a different route based on the congestion. So your access and your experience is going to be less predictable, right? ExpressRoute is more of like that tollway on the right. You know, it's this picture doesn't show it very well, but the traffic on the left is probably only going 5 to 10 miles per hour. But the cars on the right are going probably about 40 minimum, maybe 60. So you are paying a little bit more since it is a tollway, but you will most likely get to your destination in a more predictable manner. Sometimes it's faster, but it is at least more predictable. And the good thing is that ExpressRoute does have an uptime SLA, and customers can choose the bandwidth of their choice. So that's the reason why I talk about the flooding, because these are two really important things that sometimes we take for granted, but is extremely important in our day-to-day connectivity, especially if you're running production workloads. All right, so our standard marketing slide, what is ExpressRoute? So if you're deciding to use the Microsoft Cloud, whether it's Office 365, CRM Online, Azure, what have you, whether you like it or not, if you don't have ExpressRoute today, you are leveraging the internet. And the internet does not have an SLA, so that connectivity will vary as far as, you know, performance predictability. ExpressRoute is that private connection from your WAN to the cloud. So if you're using the workloads over ExpressRoute, Azure, Office 365, whatnot, this is a private route. So you can still have other traffic leveraging your internet edge, but this is a private way for you to go from point A to B. All right. So one thing I did add to this slide is that there is another arrow for what we call the non-ExpressRoute workloads. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit, because while the vast majority of cloud workloads can ride ExpressRoute, there are a few that do not. So I'll capture that here in a little bit. So I've also made another tweak to this slide. So this is one that you may have seen previously. So this ExpressRoute circuit is not the end-to-end, you know, communication from your premises to the cloud. In fact, it's just that on-ramp. It's the on-ramp from your WAN to the Microsoft, you know, dark fiber network, so to speak, right? Even though we call it one circuit, behind the scenes, it's actually two. So each of the supported partners that we have worked with, we actually have two NNIs, basically network-to-network interfaces with each. And that's part of the reason why we're able to provide an uptime SLA, because we do expect customers to run production workloads in the cloud. We want that connection to be robust and enterprise-grade. So behind the scenes, you'll actually get two circuits, a primary and secondary, per peering location. And we do have many customers that have multiple peering locations to connect to the Microsoft Cloud as well. And each of those connections will allow you three sets of BGP peers. Essentially, those are the different workloads that you can access. So think of it as you have access to the SaaS Cloud, to the PaaS Cloud, and the IaaS Cloud. And it's really your choice as a customer to pick and choose which of those that you want to connect to. You don't have to connect all three. You know, there are several that just start off with IaaS, for example, or Office 365. But it's really your choice as far as which workloads that you want to get. But out of the box, ExpressRoute is actually two circuits behind the scenes. And we're the only cloud vendor that does that. Everybody else doesn't have an SLA because they only provide one circuit. All right, so how much does this cost and what do I get to choose? So when you're sizing ExpressRoute circuit, there's three main things that you want to think about. So number one, you want to choose the size of the bandwidth, right? So you have options from going from 50 megabits per second to 10 gigabits per second, and you could upgrade that at any time on the fly. The other thing that you want to consider too is also, do I want a metered plan or an unlimited plan? So think again, like this is a cell phone plan. If you're planning to use a lot of data, and we only meter egress. Ingress is free. Egress is basically when it leaves the ExpressRoute network and going back to your on-premises is what we call meter data. So just choose if you want to have that metered plan or unlimited plan. We highly suggest if it's Office 365 that's unlimited, just because you may be downloading a lot of email, Skype for Business, and other things like that that may incur a lot of egress. But just be aware, those are the things that you want to choose as well. So this is the price for Zone 1, which is basically EMEA and US. We have different regions as well. Feel free to take a look at that pricing link there as well. We do have a thing, what we call the premium SKU, which has lots of different additions. For example, the first one is the global backhauling. Since Microsoft does have a global dark fiber network in the world, and it's one of the largest in the world, we are able to backhaul traffic from continent to continent as far as the ExpressRoute circuit is concerned. As part of the premium SKU, it was a flat $3,000 add-on to the cost of the circuit, although we have changed that pricing model. So for folks who are not aware of the updated pricing, if you are an Office 365 customer with over 500 seats, the good news is that that price is essentially waived. And so essentially you just pay for the cost of the circuit and not for the premium SKU. If you have less than 500 seats, then basically it's a sliding bar as far as the delta on how much it is as far as the add-on. So just take a look at that. And it all depends on the size of the pipe. All right. So we also talk about the workflow. So basically, how do you get started? We've got a fantastic documentation online, but you know it is a flood of different links, and sometimes it may be a little hairy to follow. So try to keep this as straightforward and clean as possible. So basically, there's several steps in the process. And this is not going to be something that you can accomplish in a couple of days. Make sure that you plan ahead and involve the right network and security folks to get through this process. But there is some work that needs to be done on the customer side through your Azure subscription, as well as the partner side as well. So making sure that you go through this process, assigning a specific subscription where you actually create the circuit, go through the prerequisites, and making sure that you have all the I's dotted and your T's crossed, get all your contracts in place with your connectivity partner and all that good stuff. And then there's, you know, things like, APIs with PowerShell, or you can use the GUI to actually create the circuit. You'll get what we call a service key, which is a unique identifier to your circuit, and that's what you will send to your ExpressRoute partner, like a Tata Communications, like an AT&T, like an Equinix, and they'll provision their side of the network. And then from there, you pick which workloads that you want to enable, whether it's the Microsoft peer, that's the SaaS aspect, whether you want to enable the PaaS peer or the IaaS peer. And notice that I did a little gradient on this one because if you do choose a Layer 3 partner, many times that they will actually take care of a lot of that peering logistics for you. That's part of their managed service. So that's a great benefit for choosing specific Layer 3 type partners. So just be aware that some of this may be on the customer side, it may be on the partner side, but it's an important consideration. That's why you want to always have an open line of communication between you and the partner. All right. So last ExpressRoute Fridays, we had talked about the topic about being able to use one circuit now for the ASM world and the ARM world. Previously, if customers had, both management APIs for IaaS, that they may have had to create two circuits for various workloads. Now, these are the links now to be able to allow you to only have one circuit to connect both worlds. We had a deep dive on the last ExpressRoute Friday, so if you want to take a look at that and see the step-by-step way of being able to do that, feel free to go to that link that we showed you earlier, and you can grab the recording and see how it's done. All right. So once again, this is the cheat sheet that I have. If you want to create an ExpressRoute circuit, there are some specific network variables that you will need to get. The ones highlighted in yellow are the ones that are customer specific, and then there may be some partner specific information that you want to get. There's some basic information like here on the bottom left, such as bandwidth, the peering location. Obviously, you need to pick a partner. and choosing the billing type and that on all that good stuff. So if you're able to fill out all these this form, and I can also post an Excel document for you to be able to just fill out these boxes. That will greatly streamline the process for creating a circuit. The good thing is that some layer 3 partners, as I mentioned, will take care of much of this. But if you are able to fill out all these variables right off the bat, that will make the provisioning process much, much simpler. All right. So this partner list has been updated as well. So by far, the vast majority of the the opportunities that we work with that go very smoothly is a combination of, the Microsoft side, the ExpressRoute partner side, as well as the customer in tandem being able to plan all the logistics together. Because these are two complex networks that are joining, essentially. It's not as easy as just plugging in one cable from one switch to another. We wish it all were, but just in the networking world, there's so much to consider, especially if you're a network guy or a security guy. There's implications that you want to plan for as well. If you don't know your partner reps, feel free to hit one of these links here to contact them. These are not all the partners, so these are just the ones that we have aliases for. But if you see a partner and you want to get contact information and you don't see it on this list, feel free to hit us up and we'll be happy to look that up for you. All right. So one of the other things I talked about too is this new ExpressRoute checklist. So one of the frequent asks that we kept getting is that, hey, it's great that you have all this documentation on Azure.com, et cetera, but what if I need documentation in Office 365 or CRM Online? I don't want to have to keep, going through multiple different websites to get the same type of information, because there are dozens and dozens of links, and it can get pretty hairy as far as finding all of that. So what we've done here as a black belt team is try to provide all these in one place. This is a living document because there's always some updated guidance. In fact, I'll talk a bit some of the updated guidance for Office 365 here in a little bit. But we have multiple links all in this one document. And it is now available as a PDF version on that link below. So feel free to snag that. You are more than welcome to use this as a part of your project plan to implement ExpressRoute. There are so many different things that you have to consider because it is essentially, a networking type of project. But if you go through this list, it will help streamline the process. There's some fantastic guidance depending on the workloads, for example, that you may want to consider. A lot of different ones, especially when you're talking more platform as a service and software as a service services, just because they're using public IP addresses, and there's some implications around that. So feel free to download this document, take a look at it. We'll be updating newer versions in the future, but this is a good way to get started. As part of that document, we also included a checklist on the internet-only workloads. So as I mentioned earlier, the vast majority of services do write ExpressRoute, but there are certain ones that do not. So you want to make sure that you account for that from a routing perspective and that you keep these internet-facing only. So these are different services, both from the Office 365 side and the Azure side. So take a look at those links. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to your productivity or our Office 365 counterparts. We have some technical specialists that will be able to answer these questions for you. All right, so we also have some updated guidance for Office 365. There's some brand new links. The main one that will help branch into some of the various topics is to snag this one at the top, the aka.ms/ExpressRoute Office 365. There's fantastic documentation about, IPs and URLs for firewalls, some tuning guides, how to properly configure routing and integrating with different on-premises environments. So these are all fantastic resources for you to take a look at to help plan an architecture network. All right, so it's almost the end of my talk. We tagged this a couple weeks ago. I've been in Azure for almost 5 years, even before infrastructure as a service came out. But one of the hot topics always when it comes to cloud is security. And security has definitely been top of mind for Microsoft for these many years. So there's a lot of different things that you can do when it comes to, building DMZs, network security groups, et cetera. So we have a fantastic link here to show you some of the different scenarios. So I thought it would be a fantastic idea to actually bring on the guy who actually created this guidance and documentation. So joining us today is John Orman. So John, you with us?
Hello. Yep. This is John. All right. Take over as presenter here. I hit the take over as presenter button and now it says loading. All right.
There you go.
Can you still see what's happening on the presented screen?
I see it. You're good.
All right, cool. So, as was said, my name is John Ormond. I'm a program manager on the Azure Networking Engineering team. And I focus mostly on ExpressRoute and enterprise scenarios. And in working with enterprises, security is something that often comes up. So, as a result, the little flowchart that you saw on the previous slide is from a paper that I put up on the Azure.com website that talks about how you can put different features together to put a DMZ or security perimeter network into place. It's very simple examples, but the idea is that you can take those building blocks and build them together to build this exact scenario that you need. So this talk that I'm about to go through over the next 10 to 15 minutes is just a really high brief of that paper itself. So if you want more information, check out this deck. There will be more information in the deck that I'll go by. I'll go through pretty quickly, or just read the paper, which I'll show you the link to that paper that Ron had it on the screen. It's in the best practices section, but I'll show you where that is. So anyway, what I want to talk about right now is networking. So this slide is a map you'll probably see fairly often if you see a lot of Microsoft presentations for Azure. The little highlighted yellow box is the networking section, and this is where most of the topics that I'm going to talk about live, including some that aren't on the map inside virtual networking. A best practice tip. So sometimes finding information on Azure and Azure features can be a little challenging. We did an internal hackathon and got a lot of just really good information on how difficult it is sometimes to find information. So something that I recommend to everybody is if you take a little time and get familiar with Azure.com, it can make your life a whole lot easier when you start to do implementation. And this is not just for networking. This is for compute or any of the other Azure features. when you get to the Microsoft or the Azure.microsoft.com website, or if you just type in Azure.com, you'll be redirected here. You'll see the nav menu across the top. In the documentations links, these are all of the feature areas for Azure. And these documents are written by the engineering team. So these are from the people who are actually building the stuff. So usually the best information is going to be in these areas. And they're all done by feature. So you can click on that, go to networking, pick ExpressRoute, and in there, there are how-tos, next steps, overviews, actual code samples. So that's really a good place. If you have questions, this is always the first place to go to get those answers. It's really an optimal place to do that. So you'll really do yourself a service. If you kind of get familiar with this site, and when you get in a bind, you'll be able to navigate to the information that you need easier. We're working on getting keywords and stuff so that it searches better, but there's so much new content that search engines don't always prioritize new stuff first because it doesn't have as many clicks as old information. And so sometimes the newer stuff that's like just freshly published doesn't always search relevancy as well as it could. So learning to navigate the site yourself can really save you some time and frustration. Also, there's a resources link that's also a really good place in here. Now with the Azure resource model or ARM, we use a lot of templates, and in the resources there are lots of templates that you can download. So if you don't know exactly how to configure a VNet in ARM or you forget a setting, you can actually go out to this repository and search for templates to actually find examples of everything that I'm going to show you. And then you can steal the code and actually put that together to build your own template for exactly what your situation is. So really a best practice, learn how to use learn how to use the documentation on the Azure.com website. So, the network, big picture. With Azure networking, everything starts around the Azure virtual network. This is an isolated by default little chunk of network that's just for you in the cloud. Even if you had two virtual networks in the same subscription, they can't talk to each other. That isolation is really a fundamental piece. Now, you can open holes into this and allow communication into your network, but by default, they are isolated. The nice thing about this being your little piece of network, you can use whatever address space you want. You could just use 10-dot space that overlaps with your on-prem. You could use public space in there if you wanted to, even though that public space would never be used publicly. You could pretty much configure this network however you want. And then once it's configured, you've got secured, or you've got subnets inside. And by default, the subnets inside a virtual network can talk. But there's things like user-defined routing and network security groups, which we'll talk about, that you can adjust how the flow happens to direct traffic through your network or stop or allow traffic in the network between those subnets. But again, by default, virtual networks are isolated, and then what happens is you decide what you want front-end-wise to come into your network from the Internet. So do you want to have a service endpoint or a public IP, an app gateway? There's all sorts of things that you can use to get traffic into your virtual network, but you decide what comes in. So then there's also back-end connectivity. So you can VPN in or use express routes in, and this allows you to use that address space that was in your network. So if, for instance, on your corporate network, you use the 10-dot address space, if you carved a little bit out of that and put it into your network and you use express route, then that network through BGP will talk to your corporate network, and it appears as if your virtual network in Azure is just a part of your corporate network. So, for instance, we use ExpressRoute actually on our internal network at Microsoft. I have servers in Azure that are at the end of that ExpressRoute, and I can ping them from my desktop. I have monitoring tools on-prem that can monitor them. The servers in the cloud can get to my Active Directory servers down that express route connection. So that virtual network in Azure is just an extension of my corporate network because of express route or the VPN offering. So that's the back-end connectivity. On the front-end side, that's all public addresses, so that's all Internet. So you can get to your virtual network from either the front-end or the back-end, but in both cases, you decide what flows in and how that connectivity works. So that's kind of the big picture. Now, when we talk about native Azure security features, network isolation, as I said, is a really big thing. The next thing is network security groups, and this you can think of like ACLs. So this is really basic rule sets that say, you look at your source, your source IP, your destination IP, the protocol, and I'm going to allow or deny that. And you can build pretty complex rule sets on what traffic you want to allow or deny inside your virtual network. So that's just, it's an ACL, allow or deny. That's a network security group. The next one is user-defined routing. This sounds really complex, and it confuses some folks, but it really at its most simplest is all you're defining is the next hop. So you're saying, hey, for this device or for this network, your next hop is always this IP address, normally like a firewall or something like that. So with user-defined routing, if a machine wants to go out to some website on the Internet, that's fine, but before you go there, your next hop is the firewall or the load balancer or whatever that next hop needs to be. So with user-defined routing, you can start to influence how your network flows. But again, it's only the next hop. So with a single UDR route, you couldn't have it go to six or seven different places. Now, you could have each of those three or four stops along the way have its own UDR rule and its own UDR policy to chain things together. But by default, user-defined routing is just defining the next hop. Now, with that next hop defined, network virtual appliances come to play, and this is where we work with a rich partner ecosystem, as I like to say, of vendors like Cisco, Barracuda, Checkpoint, F5, A10, just there's many, many vendors out there that have virtual appliances in the Azure Marketplace, and you can pick the right device for you. So we're adding new vendors and new models from these vendors every month. So hopefully you'll see the vendors that you're using on-prem and can use them in the cloud as well. So if we look at all of these features kind of together in a layered view, this is what a packet has to go through to get to your Azure workload. So if you start on the right at the internet, the first thing you go through is the DDoS protection. And this is DDoS for the Azure platform. So there isn't anything that you as the customer can actually set here. This is protecting the Azure as a whole. So if somebody gets attacked, it's dealing with that attack and ensuring that everybody else that isn't under attack doesn't notice a thing. Now, the person that is being attacked, traffic will be filtered, and some traffic will be isolated, and so there could be some service disruption there. Not totally, but you are under a DOS attack, so depending on how coordinated and good it is, you know, it can be disruptive to the person being attacked. But if you're the person right next to that attackee, you won't notice a thing. So that's what the DDoS is doing. It's protecting the Azure platform specifically. And then so if the packet gets to the DDoS, then it's going to go to that public IP. So if you've opened up an IP, then your VNet will be listening on that public IP. And that will get translated into your network's private IP, so you get to the virtual network. So now, again, those were isolated, the networks. So if you opened up an endpoint, that's the only way something can get to it. So now that the packet's on the network, now network security groups, or ACLs, are going to take place. So are you allowing inbound traffic for the internet? If that's allowed, then that packet can come into your network. Then you may say, oh, I've got a user-defined route that takes me to the next layer, the virtual network appliance, and then that will do inspection or whatever that virtual appliance is doing, load balancing, whatnot. And if it gets through all of that stuff, then it gets to your Azure deployment. So hopefully by the time it's gone through that gauntlet, that packet is a valid actual traffic that you want to hit your web server or whatever that workload is in Azure. And then the reverse path is also true. So we're going to take that hop back to the virtual appliances through the US, the NSGs, et cetera, all the way back out. So that's how you can kind of think of the security in a layered perspective. And just for Ron, yep, I'm aware of the time. I've got a counter going. the network isolation, I'm not going to cover this slide too deep because it can get kind of complex, but this is just a shows how virtual networking kind of works. This is a very high-level, highly abstracted version of how isolation works in a virtual network, but we've broken out the management plane, the control plane, and the data plane, and have controllers that are actually talking to the virtual switches on the physical hosts inside our data center to ensure that each private network is logically isolated from each other. So your virtual machines are only getting your traffic. You're not seeing anybody else's traffic. And that's all managed by the SDN controller and the vSwitch in Azure. So I'm going to try and get cleaned up, get finished in like 3 or 4 more minutes. this is a diagram straight from the paper. You can see this is a very simple inbound internet, but basically what we've done is put a security device here, and we have control ACLs here in the form of NSGs. So as traffic comes in, it hits the firewall. Firewall says, is it good or not? And then the NSG basically says, can traffic come in from the internet? No, but it can come from the virtual appliance or from the web server. So if these guys are talking to the back end, the ACLs will either allow or deny that. And so this is fairly simple. And this uses a network security group. Network security groups are fairly easy to set up. And again, this deck has examples of both ARM and PowerShell commands to get that done. Again, Azure.com resources templates, search for NSGs, and you'll find a template that you can use. Now, this is a more complex scenario where we actually have traffic protected inbound and traffic protected outbound. The way that you protect outbound traffic is you put in user-defined routing. So, for instance, if the web server wants to go out to the internet, it goes to, say, opendata.gov. the very next hop is defined as 10.0.0.4, which happens to be the firewall. So even though this web server wants to talk to opendata.gov, it doesn't go straight there. It goes to the firewall. Then the firewall can have a rule set that says, is opendata.gov a valid location for this guy? Oh, yep, I see it in the rule set. You're authorized. And then it forwards that out to opendata.gov. The web server doesn't even know, really, that that traffic got redirected. The great thing about user-defined routing and network security groups, it's at the network layer. So if this web server did get hacked for some reason and this web server wanted to go to piratebay.com instead of opendata.gov, they couldn't change like a local route on the server to get out, right? As soon as that traffic hits the network, that UDR is going to send it to the firewall. The firewall is going to say, piratebay.com, that's not on my authorized list. I'm going to deny that flow. And that server can now not talk out to the internet for that specific request. So this is how UDR could actually help on the outbound leg. And again, a hybrid connection basically connects to the back end, so you can have your internet on the front and your on-prem on the back with your hybrid connectivity. And for UDR, again, the rules are in here. It's fairly similar to setting up network security groups, but this is all on Azure.com. Resources templates, search for user-defined routing, find a template that fits your scenario, and you can make your own ARM templates to fit your specific scenario. So, the takeaways and the best practices, this is all in the documents that if you go to Azure.com under documents, there's a best practices section, and go to network security, and that is my talk. So, 16 minutes, 1 minute over.
That's great. No, thanks. Thanks, John. So, yes, all the links will be posted in the deck. We'll be putting that on the aka.ms Express Route Friday. So don't worry, you'll be able to get access to this content. So today, joining us for the partner spotlight is Tata Communications. So we have our great folks joining us today from there. So, Catherine, please take it away.
Wow, I feel like we need to take a big, deep breath after that, all the information that was in the last presentation. I want to introduce, I'm Catherine Christensen, the Global Product Manager for Private Cloud Connectivity. So that's obviously what one of the things that ExpressRoute is all about. And I want to introduce Tata Communications because I think it's one of the biggest global communications companies that maybe not everybody has heard about. You may have heard about Tata Group. Tata Group has almost 500,000 employees globally and is into lots of interesting industries like Jaguar Land Rover, steel mills, Taj Hotels. It's actually a public trust where the profits go to charities, predominantly in India. So that's our big group. But our communications company then is part of that group, and we have some significant assets. We have about a quarter of the submarine cables and of the internet traffic. You likely are using on a daily basis sites that are running on Tata's network. We have are celebrating our third year as being in the leader quadrant for Gartner Magic Quadrant as a network service provider. And we also, even though it's very well known for India business, we also are very big, a big part of our business is in the United States and, in North America. So we, here's just some more tiny data. You probably can't see it unless you have a big screen. But it's just the, for anyone who knows about global networks, you are likely running on Tata, if not directly, then through our wholesale resale situations. Biggest cables, top IP carrier, top Ethernet backbone in the world, and over 90 site MPLS network, and very big in international voice. So we have the facilities and the quality that we are very well known globally. And when we saw Ron's slide in the beginning, there was a list of the ExpressRoute partners, and there's what, about 15 or so network partners, and so we are one of those. Now, ExpressRoute has set up a lot of standards for the partners and processes that all of the partners meet in a similar way. So you may be thinking, well, why should we think about using Tata Communications compared to anybody else? If you have an existing carrier that is also an express route partner, and they happen to have connectivity at the place you want to connect, then that's something to look into, and we'd love to be able to compete for that business. And if you don't have a global carrier that is an express route partner, then definitely we'd love to compete for that business. One of the first things that you need to think about is, where do I want to connect to express route geographically, and what does my partner offer me? Okay, so I'd first like to point out, this is one more built there. Okay, we have a product which we call IZO, and this is a great marketing name just made up by marketing gurus, and it includes everything that you need for hybrid clouds. It includes regular internet, it includes enhanced internet, it includes carrier enhanced connectivity to clouds, and it includes the area of private connectivity to clouds. And so all of these services work together. So for example, if you needed a plain MPLS private connection circuit, then it would all be in this area. But if you need to mix it with internet, with other carriers, this is just to give the idea that we are looking at all of the different ways that a cloud would be accessed. So where exactly do we connect? This is where we connect to Express Route. I got a question in the chat about where we run in India, and I can say that we are the largest data carrier in India and have like 100 POPs, and they're everywhere. So we can talk separately about what we have going on in India. But globally, we've taken the idea that we want to connect and provide our customers the ability to connect to the Azure and the O365 resources in all the continents, and at least two places in each region. Now, we haven't gone to every single location in North America, and we are still in talks about adding additional sites. We do have in our development plans for this year to add at least two more, so we'll keep working on that. But I wanted to point out that we have the Mumbai and the Chennai connectivity in India, which are, I think we're still the only ones that are connecting in India, and then we have all the major global regions covered as well. So if you had a solution that requires one connection on East Coast US, or two regions, or India only, or just one site in Europe, we're good for any of that. Okay, so let's see what else I can say about that. Oh yeah, okay, so yeah, we are so far the only one that is connected in India, and our India network is really competitive and extremely strong, but we also have, I think more than half of our customers have nothing to do with India. So yeah, we want to wrap this market up tight, but we also want to share the other global markets. One thing that's very important to understand when you're going for your express route service is, which region do you want to set it up in? I saw in the part about the premier routing that sometimes if you were taking an O365 service, you might want to have like one connection and then let Microsoft's internal routing connect the global sites. But also for performance, if you had, suppose, a headquarters here and in the Western Hemisphere, and then you had like major branch office in India and Asia, you might want to have three express route connections so that the users in each location would be able to enjoy that kind of low latency and secure connectivity. Okay, and I hope this diagram looks familiar to people from Microsoft, because I think we've taken it from some of our joint marketing slides. We offer 100% availability SLA on our connection. This connection here represents the connection that in Ron's slides, this is the express route connection. It's a dual connectivity, dual physical connectivity on dual routers, etc. And then in our own network, we have everything resilient. So we're very comfortable with offering a 100% availability SLA on this network. So when you're talking about the floods in Houston, you still will have the last mile problem if it's at your house. But if it's at your data center or your corporate site, hopefully you have things like backup power and two local access routes if that's a highly critical solution, or you might be hosted in a multi-tenant data center that has everything with dual and backup configuration. So this compared to internet, I also am remembering the picture of the highway. Okay, we want to be in the fast lane on the highway. We also have specific latency guarantees and packet delivery guarantees. So basically, instead of that intranet, meandering in to the Azure or O365 area, this is the superhighway on a global network. Okay, and I put in a note here. We saw the service delivery steps, and that there's a lot of different things that the customer is going to do, that we as your carrier would do, or that Microsoft is going to do in service delivery. And there are certain things that the customer will need to do. Like, the customer is the one that has the account relationship with Microsoft and will be getting a service key from Microsoft. Tata appoints a project manager for the entire case. And on the pre-sale side, there's a solutions architect that will validate the solution, work through any of the complex questions that you have so that we can be sure that the solution it will deliver as you expect. And especially when we have O365 and maybe, say, Azure IaaS both needed on a connection. There's a lot of points about the IP addressing, how the BGP is set up, that our engineers, we have dedicated engineers that are working only on Express Route, will be able to validate in a design or coach the customer. And then during the installation phase, there's also a dedicated project manager for that installation that will then tell the customer, okay, now it's time for you to do such and such a thing in your Microsoft portal. Okay. Oh, good. Okay, we're getting a great ad in our chat from Zio. But yes, there are multiple carriers that do this, but I wanted to emphasize that for Tata, we have the benefit of the global layout, the exclusive in India, and then on the service side, we have gotten a lot of we call it praise and prizes and such for the customer service. You know, for us, we do this every day. For the customer, for you as the customer, you're doing it, once or twice, or maybe at the most that we've had in a solution, we've seen 3 Express Route connections in a company, in a large, enterprise's global network. They have 3 Express Route connections. So they're super important, but you don't want to have to go learn a huge process just to set up something. So that's why we will help you through that. Okay. I wanted to also point out that our typical situation is that we of Tata Communications have this direct connectivity with Microsoft, with the Azure and O365 services. But we also have another option, which is we are able to offer connections to other carriers. And let me give an example of this. We have there are some customers of a South American carrier that were trying to get connected to Express Route, and they're very happy with the carrier that they have, which is predominantly working in South America, and they wanted to connect in Ashburn on U.S. East Coast. And instead of that carrier couldn't really solve this for them, and becoming an Express Route partner is a huge amount of work. I mean, there's a lot of technological development, learning, process documentation, and although we know that Microsoft is always a joy and simple and straightforward to deal with, it is a lot of work. So we're able to enter into agreement with that kind of other carrier and then take them kind of on a wholesale basis. So the customers can maintain their relationship with their local carrier that they're used to, and yet they can still take advantage of Tata Communications' direct connectivity into Azure and O365. And so I have a diagram of that. Now, this is just very super simplified. So we're happy to have the enterprise customers that are our direct enterprise customers or from another carrier. And we have about 50 carriers that we are working with right now on doing this kind of thing. I didn't really prepare too much in writing. I guess to sum up, I wanted to say that, there is that long list of carriers, and each one of them has certain standards that they are required to step up to in order to connect for the Express Route connection. But there on the back end, the carriers are differentiated by their geography. So, and certainly for these global locations, we have extensive relationships throughout Middle East, Africa, South America, in addition to the North America, Europe, and the main countries of Asia. So the geography is one, the level of service and of you know, hand-holding and individual customer service attention, and then just the quality of the network and the credibility of being able to offer those SLAs like, you know, 100% availability. That's the kind of thing that we hope will make, you know, C-level executives sleep well at night. And as Ron pointed out, yeah, there's a toll for that, but it's also, if you think that you're generally qualified for private networking, that is the plain public internet meandering is just not going to cut it for you because of security or because of performance, then this is the kind of approach that will, you know, give you the SLA and that performance expectation so that you can really put your critical applications into Azure. Okay, and I think I will stop on that. Did I have any? Yeah, we just have some contact information there, and that will be in your deck. Very happy to hear from you for any questions and to continue the discussion. And so now I hope that everybody who didn't know about Tata Communications before at least knows that Sirius Global Carrier and Sirius Enterprise Express Route partner with Microsoft for delivering private connectivity to Azure and O365.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. So thanks always for the partner spotlight. And it is our intention that we do, you know, call out these partners to show off, you know, the partnership, because it is a requirement from an ExpressRoute perspective to plug in with a supported carrier. And many of these carriers do work with each other. So it's been fantastic that we have a lot of partnerships behind the scenes as well. So now we're going to go ahead and unmute the audience. And thank you for all who have been sending questions through the IM window here on Skype. There are many of you who dialed in on audio only. So if you do have any questions, feel free to go off of mute right now and ask it to the group. You do have the experts here from Microsoft as well as from Tata Communications. So if you do have any questions for us, feel free to go ahead and ask us now. And I do apologize for the last ExpressRoute Fridays where we did not, when Skype decided to end early and we were not able to have a Q&A session. But this is now your time to ask anything to the group.
I have a question. The initial instance that we've done for ExpressRoute, or I guess not ExpressRoute, to the Azure compute environment was done via VPN. We're planning on transitioning to ExpressRoute. Is that something that we can minimize an outage with by having the VPN coexist with the ExpressRoute until we change a preference sort of thing for the ExpressRoute to take over? Or do you have any suggestions on that?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, for customers today that do have an IPsec connection, whether that's point-to-site or site-to-site, so your virtual networks today in Azure are fronted by a VPN gateway. To add that circuit to an ExpressRoute circuit, you do change it to an ExpressRoute gateway. That ExpressRoute gateway can accept also a site-to-site tunnel after the fact, but unfortunately that initial change-out does require you to deprovision the IPsec gateway and then link the new ExpressRoute gateway on that. That will incur a little bit of downtime. It's essentially the deletion process and then adding the new gateway to that VNet. You know, our typical recommendation is that, you know, this should all be done in under 2 hours. So if you could find a maintenance window to be able to perform that, then you could make that switch. The good news is after you've been able to create an ExpressRoute gateway, you can add that site-to-site tunnel afterwards as well. And you can do that now with the Azure Resource Manager APIs. That way it'll give you an additional backup, so to speak, to an existing circuit, even though it already has two physical circuits behind the scenes. So great question.
Understood. And we wouldn't have to worry about re-IPing any of the services that we've already created in Azure. We could reuse the same subnet that we've already provisioned.
So, your IP address for your VNets don't change, so the actual VNet range does not. The VNet gateway itself, though, or for the ExpressRoute gateway, does require a /28, and I don't know what you used for your IPsec gateway. It may not be a /28, so that would be the only change that you would need, is having a /28 subnet. That's really for the ExpressRoute gateway. But everything else, okay. All your virtual machines, they will stay the same IPs.
Great, thank you.
Great question.
I have a quick question, if I can go next.
Absolutely. Go, Steve.
Okay. All right, good. So we have implemented the Barracuda Web Application Firewall and the Barracuda pay-as-you-go next-generation firewalls hourly, and we're having fun with them, and we're liking them a lot. But from a security perspective, folks on our security team have asked us to implement both inter-subnet rules. So we have one VNet with multiple subnets. They asked us everything has to go, like you said, using UDR routing, next hop, to get to the firewall, and the firewall determines if that port and protocol is allowed to the next subnet. So we're doing all that. We're happy. But the security folks are asking us, why don't you also implement NSGs as a double redundant layer of protection so that if your Barracuda firewall ever got compromised, then you still have NSGs. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have customers that do that, like having both?
Yeah, go ahead. This is John Orman, so I did the security talk. So I actually highly recommend doing exactly that. Now, the NSG rule that I recommend is like stupid simple. It's basically deny all internet traffic. Right? So it's a single rule, but it gives you that second layer of security so that even if something happens with your firewalls, nothing leaks in. And so nothing should ever, because nothing should ever be exposed. Those VMs should never be exposed out to the internet. Those subnets should never be exposed. But just having that NSG in place is just another layer of security. So the NSG rule is the same for everything except for the whatever is the outside-facing public IP. That subnet would not have this NSG, but all the other subnets would have internet traffic denied. And that rule should never get hit. Right, traffic should never be coming into there, but it does give you that kind of layer of security that if somebody's troubleshooting, somebody makes a mistake and accidentally opens up something to the internet, that NSG will stop it. So yeah, I actually recommend that.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Now, one thing that I would caution you against, and this is always a balance, is if you make a lot of rules in your NSG or even your UDR, and you've got also security policy in your WAF and in your firewall, now you've got a lot of places to go and check for, why isn't this traffic flowing the way I think it's supposed to flow? So keeping it as simple as possible is really important, but you also have to implement good security. So that's the balance, you know, complexity versus simplicity. From security versus operations standpoint, that's what you have to balance. But I would definitely recommend at least doing that deny rule on everything.
Thank you for your time, John.
Yep.
Hi, this is Ajay. I have a quick question on the global connectivity. So in terms of using the Express Route Premium, so in terms of connecting the VNets globally to the Express Route, is there anything different? Is it any different from just connecting from within a geopolitical region?
Nope. Yeah, it's a great question. So Ajay, you did point out a good distinction. So a standard circuit does allow you to link VNets within what we call a geopolitical region. So we do have a list of what those are. So think of like the U.S. as one geopolitical region. EMEA being another. We have some other ones like, you know, Japan is one, Australia is another, et cetera. So you can link VNets from a standard circuit. When you have the premium circuit, then all those public regions are in play. So that's really one of the benefits for adding the premium SKU. So you can link those VNets from various locations to that Express Route circuit.
So is the process for linking, is it any different or is it the same?
If you think of it like this way, if your business is in, say, Atlanta, Georgia in the U.S., you could have an Express Route circuit to Atlanta. And now since you're in Atlanta, you're on the Microsoft backbone. So if you have Azure resources in U.S. East or West, you could connect to that through that simple PowerShell command. Now, if you don't have premium, you'll be restricted to just the U.S. But if premium circuit, the exact same PowerShell command portal experience, you can link your circuits from Japan to that Express Route circuit in Atlanta, but it's the same command, nothing different. But when you create your Express Route circuit, that's when you have to signify that it's premium, or you can upgrade to premium, but you've got to have that premium distinction to get outside of your geopolitical region, but the commands don't change.
Got it. Thank
you. Great question. Yeah, your audio, at least for me, faded a little bit, John. But so that's really one of the biggest benefits of premium. What other public regions for Azure, that single on-ramp to the Microsoft backbone will allow you that link. It's the same PowerShell commands, but gives you that global backhauling capability, which we talk about often with premium. So that is a huge feature. So that's part of the reason why there is a add-on fee for premium. So there was another question in the IAM window earlier. So why is there a cost, even if it's for greater than 500 Office 365 users? The fee that we're talking about that's waived is the premium, the fee. The cost of the circuit still exists. And then you also have to take into consideration the cost for the ExpressRoute partner as well. If you do have more than 500 seats for Office 365, the premium capability, is included. So you are able to bridge, you know, like that Atlanta connection, for example, and still hit a VNet in Japan or Australia or whatever regions that you want to deploy in.
Hello, this is Abbas. Can I ask a question?
Hi, Abbas. We could barely hear you. Can you speak it closer to the microphone, please?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better, but yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
The question I have is, you know, the customer has, let's say they have set up their primary site in East US and they want to have the DR site in West US. If for whatever reason the primary site is down, or the East US region is not available, then how does it work? Because if they have their ExpressRoute connectivity set up, the circuit may be in East US, right? And that may not be available then for the DR switchover or failover.
Yeah, great question. So the good thing is that what we call the peering locations, that's where the Microsoft, you know, backbone meets the partner network. They're not the same facilities as the actual Azure or Office 365 data centers. So if a data center went down, that peering location will probably still be up and running. One of the things we do tell customers is that you do want to think about if what happens if that peering location does, you know, go under. Even though we have redundant connections per peering location, there is that rare, you know, possibility that the actual facility, that exchange location, can go down. And that's where you can also add multiple circuits for a path diversity design. That's one thing that we do recommend highly for customers that are worried about, you know, peering locations going down. Obviously, those would need to be catastrophic events or something that would happen in the data center or in the peering locations itself. But if you had an actual another ExpressRoute circuit peered in a different location, you can have the exact same VNets peered to that circuit as well as an additional backup to those workloads. So that's actually a recommended design, especially when you're talking about DR scenarios. And you know, one of my colleagues, Kevin Sullivan, who is actually one of the experts around some of that design, he was on the call. Looks like he had to jump to another call. But that's a great question. So you're not limited to one ExpressRoute circuit and one peering location. You can add multiple. So that gives you additional redundancy as well as the ability to influence routes to a better path between point A and point B.
Sir, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Abbas. All right. I know we're a couple of minutes over, but we still have folks on the line. So if there's any additional questions, feel free to shout it out or put in the IM window. If not, we can close the call, but we'll stick around for another couple of minutes. And just a quick reminder, all the content, including, you know, any white papers or sample scripts, the presentation will all be available at this link, so feel free to snag that before you go. But we will stay a couple more minutes for questions if there's any more. And so if you do, go ahead and drop. Thank you for your time. Enjoy your weekend, and hopefully you're not swimming into any of these floodwaters over here. So hopefully you'll be nice and dry and enjoying beautiful weather this weekend. Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Ron.